Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Coast to coast.
All right, Carver High, we dive back into the college football scene because I got to tell you, Thursday through Monday, it is loaded. I don't even care that the NFL doesn't start till the 8th and 11th because, you know, in a couple days, we're going to be drowning in college football. And there are some just utterly fantastic games to bet on.
There certainly is a full slate of college football, which will kick off on Thursday. Let's hear from a few more of these coaches, Scotty. Of course, Michigan coming off a season where they made the college football playoff for the first time since Jim Harbaugh was head coach. First time they beat Ohio State, too. They have a very easy run of non-conference opponents to start the season, Scotty, which will begin Saturday at home against Colorado State. Jim Harbaugh has named Cade McNamara as the starter for that game at quarterback, but he also named the other quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, the starter for game two against Hawaii. Let's try to figure out Harbaugh's rationale here as he starts talking about the Bible and all sorts of other stuff. Here's Harbaugh.
We've named the starting quarterback. Cade McNamara will start the first game. J.J. McCarthy will start the second, and we've also posted the depth chart at the other positions as well. So we're ready to roll. I mean, it's a process. It is a process. I mean, for me to stand up, I mean, no person, I mean, that's biblical. No person knows what the future holds. And it's a process, and it's going to be based on performance. But we're not going to withhold, you know, any good thing that's you know, both have been tremendous quarterbacks. We think that both are capable of leading our team
Spin
to a championship.
Out already, so, Christ! Well,
that's good. We're going to keep cultivating that, and some people have asked, you know, was that, you know, what?
This guy's
how'd you
wacko.
Come to that decision? And you know, was
he
it based
is.
On some kind of NFL model? No, it's really based. Based biblical, you know, Solomon.
Biblical.
What?
Solomon. What is he talking about?
Listen, what is happening there? Now, listen, his brother obviously has it all together and is focused. Your boy here, your man is just tripping. He is all over the place. Talking about Solomon and the Bible. And listen, Michigan again up to their old tricks with a couple of real dandies to start the season with Colorado State and Hawaii. You saw what Vanderbilt did to Hawaii? What do you think Michigan's going to do to Hawaii in Ann Arbor? It's going to be the same type of bloodletting, maybe worse.
Well, first four games of the year for Michigan, all of them are at home, Scotty. Colorado State, Hawaii, UConn, and Maryland. Those are the four games to start the season for the Wolverines.
Boom.
Sounds like
4-0.
Sounds like they 4-0 right out of the gate before they then get things going with a trip to
Iowa. They're
going to
get whacked by Ohio State and Columbus this year, as sure as I'm sitting here, because, you know what? Ohio State plays Notre Dame, and all they see is Michigan. They don't even see Notre Dame. That's just a walk in the park to them. But I think they're going to have their hands full with the Irish. Everyone thinks that's going to be a piece of cake. You're tripping. But the game, they literally, their whole season, they could care less about anything. They have one goal, one game, not even a national championship. They want to destroy Michigan, and they will.
Little payback after last year, finally losing to them, that's for sure. Welcome in all of our radio affiliates. Pharrell Coast to Coast, SiriusXM, Channel 159, Sports Map, Sports Byline. Good to have everybody with us today. So as you just said, Scotty, Notre Dame visits the Shoe to open up the season against Ohio State Saturday night under the lights. Two top five teams. A very big number right now of 17.5. And Marcus Freeman did not know what the spread was, Scotty, but he made sure yesterday when he found out to write it down. Here's the Notre Dame head coach.
This game is now up to a 17.5-point spread. It's been a decade and a half since Notre Dame's won outright under those circumstances. Lou Holtz, all-time great at turning an underdog role into a useful tool. What did you pick up from him? Will you plug into some of those conversations this week? And what is it about this place that leads to upsets?
Well, I didn't know that. I'm going to write that down. You said 17.5 points, right? We'll use that in the team meeting today, you know. It's good to know. You know, I haven't paid much attention to the spread, but I remember the one time we were on college game. I said, just keep making go up and up.
Well, listen, they're number five in the country. You know, most pundits, everyone say that they're overrated, that they shouldn't even be in the top 10. And I just don't know what world you're living in where you think that Notre Dame isn't going to show up for that football game. I mean, they show up for every football game. So Notre Dame is loaded with talent. So is Ohio State. And it is, I think it's insulting that the number's that high. I really do. Like, are they really going to blow out Notre Dame? I mean, really? They have a great defense. They got a great defensive head coach that everyone's ranting and raving how incredible he is. I will never forget they blew that bowl game, though. I will not forget that. What was it, Oklahoma State? That was embarrassing. Yeah. But look, I certainly think Ohio State's a lot better than Oklahoma State. But I just think Saturday night's going to be a better game than that, Mike.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So you got to get the BetMGM app. It's fantastic. I tell all my friends it's really more important than oxygen and water because you can bet $10 on any baseball game in the show and get $200 if either team hits a home run. It happens like, you know, every night. Bonus code MLBHR2022 is what you got to put in there. It's $10, $200 if either team hits a homer for you. Bonus code MLBHR2022. So, Carver Hyde, one last thing on the Irish. Look, I won't deny that I'm very nervous about the kid Buckner, who's thrown three touchdown passes and has done nothing at Notre Dame, and he's the starting quarterback. So I think he might actually cable in his pants going into that game in the horseshoe. I am worried about that, but I do think that they're talented. I think they're deep. I think they have a defense. And getting blown out at Ohio State, well, I guess it could happen. Maybe the best thing is to stay away from it. I know you're probably going to stay away from it because of your fandom, but I love them too, and I might just stay away from that game. There are many games over the weekend that I am more interested in betting on than that type of price.
Look, I obviously am very jacked up to watch this game on Saturday night. In terms of playing it, it's probably going to be more in-game for me. There's a lot of things that make me nervous about Notre Dame on Saturday night. Buckner is one of them, as you just said. Freeman, look, it's his first real game coaching. He blew a 17-point lead in the Fiesta Bowl to Oklahoma State in a game that he did coach. They lost some pieces on defense to the NFL. You've got a different coaching staff in there. A lot of guys, not all of them, but some did go with Kelly down to LSU. And they really aren't historically good in these games. They have been whacked in a few of these spots. So I'm nervous, Scotty. I hope they're in the game. And remember, Ohio State last year lost at home to Oregon at the beginning of the year, and that kind of ruined their season, and then they ended up losing to Michigan. And you know, right, the Day and C.J. Stroud and all these guys, they remember they got to start fast. So a lot of things worry me about the Irish come Saturday night. But there, like you said, there are several other games that we are going to be able to dive into this weekend. Almost several hundred other games. Yesterday I gave you the Thursday night games. Let me give you a little taste of the entire weekend here. I mean, look at this. We mentioned that Michigan's playing Colorado State. They got a fat number at the Big House that they're going to have to cover there. NC State, they have been highly ranked. They are visiting East Carolina with an 11.5. Good game between Cincinnati and Arkansas to start the year, too. Oklahoma laying a big number against UTEP. Oklahoma was laying a big number against Tulane the first game last year, too, and they did not cover that. So that could be dicey as well.
Well, I think Brent Venables is going to have a little different strategy than what they did last year, frankly, with Lincoln Riley messing around with the wave. This UTEP team is awful, and they opened with a loss, as usual, even at home in the Sun Bowl. So, and the game of the week right there on that board is Arkansas and Cincinnati. Remember, Arkansas is a tough football team. They're playing in Fayetteville, and there is no Desmond Ridder on the other team. So Cincinnati has cleaned up after their great season last year with one loss. They've reshuffled the deck, but they don't have Ridder. I'm on Arkansas here.
More big games I got for you. How about the 3:30 Eastern kickoff in Atlanta between the defending national champions, the Georgia Bulldogs, Scotty, and the Ducks, quack, 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 from Oregon. Former Georgia assistant Dan Lanning, who is the new head coach in Oregon after Cristobal went to Miami. 17.5 there. Utah visits the Swamp against Florida. Alabama laying a fat number against Utah State Saturday night.
Well, Georgia is still really good, even though Kirby Smart pretends like they've lost the whole team. They still have their quarterback. They did lose Pickens. They lost a lot of guys to the NFL. I get it, but they are completely ready to lock and load. Oregon lost Cristobal. I don't see how you lose that guy, and then all of a sudden you just go do whatever you want in Atlanta. That's a home game for Georgia. That place is going to be 98% packed, red, Bulldogs. Oh, oh. And then those other games you talked about, Alabama's going to roll. And I forget the third one that was on the board there that was
Florida and Utah. Yeah. Florida and Utah, listen, Saturday night at the Swamp. Good game.
Listen, Utah is the best team in the Pac-12, but you go down to that Swamp, believe me, you, Florida is going to be jacked up for that game, and that student body is going to be absolutely baked and drunk off their ass.
I'm on Florida Saturday night. First game, of course, for Napier, the new coach down there coming over from the Raging Cajuns. I think they're going to beat Utah at home in that game. We just talked about Notre Dame and Ohio State. That actually did go down a tick. It was 17.5 yesterday when they talked to Coach. 17 now. Sunday night standalone in New Orleans at the Dome, LSU and Florida State, as we mentioned with Kelly. Monday night, Labor Day night standalone, Clemson and Georgia Tech. 21.5 there. Remember, Scotty, Georgia Tech should have beat them last year. They couldn't punch the ball in on the goal line. They should have upset Clemson.
You know, getting, you know, three touchdowns and a hook might be interesting. Clemson should beat them, but that number is juicy. I don't think LSU is going to have that much of a problem with Florida State, but I could be wrong. I'm not a buyer in the Noles. Plus, I
have several hundred. I have several hundred other games that we'll go through over the next couple days. We'll revisit these games too on Friday when you make the final selections heading into the weekend here on Coast to Coast. Also, one last thing in college. Of course, the Matt Ariza situation. He got released from the Bills. Now the university, Scotty, they are defending the way that they handled it. Of course, we kind of mentioned this last week that the police department told them not to get involved. The
right.
Parents of Ariza have made a statement saying that their kid's getting railroaded and he lost his job because of people not listening to facts. a lot of things starting to circulate with this situation.
Well, I mean, I know everyone's happy that the family has been bombarded with death threats, and they want to kill the whole family. Everyone wants to kill the mother and father and the kid. I get it. I understand people's angst. Now, let's be clear again, because, you know, I know how stupid people are. They don't listen. Yesterday, I talked about this at great length, and I got this horrible reaction from all of you nimrods. And here's the deal. What I said was, when you talk about all you care about is the truth, which is what McDermott said, the Bills were only interested in the truth. Well, they just, you know, obviously they got rid of that guy faster than you could spit so that they could appease their fan base who was ready to hang him, right? I get all that. I understand what he's been accused of. I understand the significance. I understand the, you know, bad nature of this charge and whoever's involved. All three of these guys are in big hot water and trouble. But when you are, and I have to say this again slowly because I don't understand really how dumb people are. When you are seeking the truth, then you let the police do what they're doing to investigate this rape charge. No one has been arrested. It's been implied. It's been accused. There's been accusations. And the school never did anything because of the San Diego Police Department. Fair enough. I get it. You want to hang the kid and kill him and kill his family because you're all so stupid. But the reality is that when you want the truth, then you let it play out. But what they did was react first and then tell you that the only thing the Bills want is the truth. The Bills don't want the truth, Mike. Otherwise, they would have handled it better. They didn't handle it well at all. They knew that he had been accused, and they still cut the other kicker. Then they, when public opinion swarmed around him, then they said, get rid of him. Then they came out and made a statement that said, all we're looking for is the truth. And you know what I say to that? Bull effing shack, okay? Because when you want the truth, then you let the entire process play out. No one has been arrested yet. All there's been is a lawyer and a girl accusing everyone. And now everyone's getting death threats. They're going to burn down the university. The football program's going to fold up shop. Everybody needs to chill the F out. And that's exactly what I said yesterday. And I said it again today for all the stupid people out there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, for all back on Coast to Coast, Adam Kalbinis, our NFL insider and a regular on C2C and Sports Grid across all shows all day, every day. And he's finished his tours around the preseason training camps. And now it's down to business as the NFL will start on Thursday, the 8th, with the Bills and Rams at SoFi. And then on the 11th, a full slate of games that day, kicking off at 1 o'clock Eastern. By the way, I'll be on the 11th. Do an in-game live from 1 to 4, all 1 o'clock games every Sunday right here on Sports Grid TV. Looking forward to that. And while I'm at it, I'm doing college every Saturday, starting this Saturday, the 3rd, at 12 noon every week. You can catch Pharrellavision on Sports Grid with college and pro football every Saturday and Sunday. All right, Adam, let's handle the cuts in the next, because we got a nice dose, a double shot of Kaplan today. We always love a double shot. He drinks a lot with me on this show. And today, let's start with other business at hand. We'll do the Robinson story, but let's start with Jimmy G's deal with the Niners.
Oh, this is interesting. This is definitely, this is the story of the week of the cut down of 53 and all that comes and goes and talking to teams. And once this thing sort of had legs, and I was just getting some answers from other teams, what they thought of this thing. And it's very unique. If you remember, we were on Sports Grid from Niners camp, and I told you how odd it was. It's like, here's the field. Garoppolo is behind us throwing on the side, but he's not practicing, not going into meetings. And talking to the Niners, they just were resigned to the fact They knew it was Trey Lance was the starter. Nate Sudfeld would be the backup. 2.5 weeks later, Nate Sudfeld is cut. Jimmy Garoppolo is the backup quarterback. So then the next question is, what happened? They looked at the situation and said, are we better off without him or with him? Better with him as the backup at this case or not? They felt a couple things here, and the coaches really felt this very strongly about this. They love having Garoppolo around. When you look at their roster, you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. One of the best rosters in the NFC. They made to the championship game. One Jaquaski Tart, lack of an interception away from getting to the Super Bowl. Okay, so they know they have a very good roster. It's better than last year's. I tell you from talking to them, they think it's even better than last year's. Now, but would you rather have Nate Sudfeld, number one, as the backup to Lance, or would you have to have Garoppolo? The answer is Garoppolo. Nate Sudfeld, by the way, they still owe him $2 million fully guaranteed, but Garoppolo is going to make 6.5, which is backup money, by the way. And they just feel that with this roster, they've got two choices here with Lance. If it's not going well, you've got the opportunity to go to Garoppolo if you need to. Now, if Lance suffers an injury, they've got a guy who's healthy, by the way, his right shoulder is fine. They could go to him. And that's really the essence, as I'm told by multiple team sources. They just wanted a very good insurance policy, the guy that they know and they get along with. I know people find this hard to believe, this craziness of him not in meetings, just working out the facility, getting ready so when he gets cut, which he wasn't, but most people thought he'd get cut. If he got cut, he'd be ready to go. And they're allowing him to do that. But he was not going to be allowed to practice because they were afraid if he had trade value that if he got hurt again, they wouldn't be able to trade him. Well, guess what? None of it happened, and he's still a Niner, and they're actually, believe it or not, really happy to have him.
Yeah, look, Tart, as I said then, and I'll say it again now, he had to go, and he is gone. He dropped that pick, and that's why they didn't go to the Super Bowl, and that's all there is to it. And don't get me started on the Bengals not throwing to Higgins on third and fourth down because they would have won the Super Bowl. Yeah. Don't even get me started, but let me say this. I still believe unequivocally that Jimmy G is better than Lance. He's 31-14 as a starter, 2 title games and a Super Bowl. Christ almighty, I have never seen anything like it. Now look, this guy's going to make $16 million if he plays, and you know he's going to play at some point. There's no way this is going to be some fairy tale season for Trey Lance. He's going to start every game and nothing's going to happen. Well, if he has some glory season, I'll eat my words. But I still believe that Jimmy G is the better quarterback. And I think they did this deal because they got him from 24-6 with a max of 16.5 payout.
Couple things to add to this. So you talk about Lance and comparing him to Garoppolo. Let's not forget, when we were together from Santa Clara, I made it pretty clear to you he was struggling with his accuracy. By the way, that's been an ongoing thing with him. You see some amazing super-duper throws. You could see why they gave him 3 first-round picks to trade up for him. Then you see the ball sail out of bounds where you go, where was that throw? The thing is, and this is what one quarterback's coach told me from another team. I was just getting an opinion from other coaches. See, the worst thing you can do when you bring Garoppolo back, and yes, both quarterbacks were explaining what was going on. It wasn't like they sprung this up on Lance. Lance knew what was going on. But you can't have him looking over his back. So you're talking about, as you're outlining it, well, Garoppolo's going to play at some point. But they can't have him thinking that. This is the problem last year with Tua. You and I talked about this when Brian Flores kept benching Tua when he was healthy. You can't have the young quarterback, looking over his back. You just can't do that because then he's worrying way too much about his job rather than playing. And this is the one thing I was told by multiple people, including this quarterback coach that I talked to. You just cannot have this happening. You got to be careful. So Kyle Shanahan has got to continue to let Lance know, you're my guy. I'm not going to pull you. That's got to happen here. That, to me, if you're a Niners fan watching for L&I right here on Sports Grid, listening to us on Sirius XM, you got to believe that Kyle Shanahan knows the way this could go. Because if it's not going well, Jimmy Garoppolo is there as an insurance policy. That's a fact. But you have to back your quarterback up here. And this is a young kid who needs confidence, and they've got to give that to him.
Well, what if he loses a lot? If they lose 5 games or 6 games, I guarantee you he's going to get benched.
Oh, in a row? Of course. And look, they weren't doing that. Nate Sudfeld has been a nice player. I remember him in Philly in 17. He was the talk of the team. It was 5 years ago. They paid him $2 million, fully guaranteed at signing, as I understand it. So they like him, but they cut him. Now he could wind up being on the practice squad, but Garoppolo's the backup. It isn't amazing how things have changed since training camp started, where they clearly made it obvious to everyone, not that they didn't like Jimmy, but they wanted to move on from him. And then 5 weeks later, everything has changed because they knew Sudfeld was not ready to be the backup. And it is legitimate, though. They really do like Jimmy Garoppolo personally, and that's why they're bringing him back. And I'm not disagreeing with you. $6.5 million is decent backup money. It's a guy that they know, and Lance is just going to have to play well, not worry about what's going on behind him.
He might very well play well, and I hope for his sake that he does. I'm not out to get him. I'm really not. I could really care less. But I do know how loaded they are. They're super talented. That might help him win, because he doesn't have to have it all on his shoulders. Jimmy G is going to be there in case. I get it. You're right. I don't think it's going to be a look over your shoulder thing. It's going to be insurance. And if they have to, they will. And then I wouldn't be surprised at all if it hypothetically came down to that he would be able to come in. Let's say week 12 on, and they were in a race for a playoff spot or wild card, a division or wild card, and this guy Garoppolo ends up having to save the day. I wouldn't be surprised at all. The guy rattled off 5 straight wins. All he's ever done in San Francisco is win and get them to the playoffs. What he did to the Packers in that game in the snow was unbelievable. And what they did to Aaron Rodgers was even more unbelievable. So they are a very talented team that could very well go to the Super Bowl. And I'm sure a lot of people are betting on that. Let's talk about Robinson now. Give me the latest. We heard today, Carver High reported that he was at practice on crutches. His leg is bandaged. He obviously was shot in the leg. And yesterday we talked to our boy J.B. Finley in D.C. at the Fan about the shooting, where it happened, in a restaurant bar area of D.C. that's real popular. And it was two young teenagers that did it to him. They're excited that, A, he's alive, and he'll at some point make a comeback.
Yeah, so as I understand it, they're going to let the wounds heal. Is it, you talked about him being on crutches. That's going to take not days, weeks. Then they'll make an assessment once everything is healed when he could actually practice. And they do believe he'll be able to do something this season. They just don't know when. But Right. Do we understand here thank God he's okay. How close this could have been to being a tragedy? It's one of the most remarkable stories in my 20 years, just looking at this situation of covering the National Football League, where you take a kid and you and I outline the Gibson situation. We'll get to him in a second. And how things could have been really bad for Robinson. And thank goodness he's okay. And now Antonio Gibson is back as the starter. Remember, he basically lost the job to Robinson.
Right.
And they felt so good about Robinson's progress. He's a good kid. Just wrong place at the right time. And just what can you do? The fact of the matter is he's going to be okay. Thank goodness. And through a tumultuous last year and a half with the owner stuff, what's going on with the franchise, they're trying to get the thing righted here. And this is the last thing they need is a tragedy, but thank goodness he's going to be okay. But they don't have a timeline yet, because they have to see, this is so unique, Pharrell. They have to get through this, but the fact of the matter is thank goodness he's going to be okay. And by the way, look, the Washington is only 8.5 over under, plus 145 on the over, minus 170 on the under. Carson Wentz really came on, I'm told. We haven't talked about that a lot. They feel better about their offensive line. Their defense, not going to have Chase Young for a long time. It's going to be a while, easily a month, if not longer. But they feel better that the guys are playing better defensively. That team may be a little bit better than you think. And plus, if they could keep turmoil gone, Pharrell, that would help.
Gibson was moved to, I think he was going to return kicks, because he had made a lot of mistakes. He put the ball on the ground a lot. He fumbled a lot. They weren't happy with him. Robinson beat him out. Now it's Gibson's job again, and they got to pretend like they have confidence in him. That's a definite area of concern if your running back is fumbling the ball all the time, and we don't know what Wentz is going to do. We'll come back with all the cuts with Adam Kaplan. We'll see you soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're talking to Adam Kaplan, our NFL insider. It was cut down day, and everything else ended at, an hour and a half ago at the 4 o'clock deadline for roster moves. There were some trades, and there were definitely a lot of names cut today. Take it away, Adam.
All right, let's get started with Philly. The Eagles, this was huge. Okay, they had been looking for a safety. They tried to sign Marcus Williams, who now went to Baltimore back in March. They offered $14 million a year. He took basically the same offer and signed with the Ravens. So the Eagles, Pharrell, were trying to do something big at safety. And boy, did they. They traded for Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who was on the final year of his rookie deal from the Saints. They gave up a couple of draft picks. But this is a huge deal because if you and I have talked about the Eagles for a couple of weeks here and how 9.5 wins, the over-under, I've liked over. It's just they have a very good roster. It's this team that had 9 wins. I don't know how they got in the playoffs other than they had the NFL's best run game. But if you look at the roster now, they've made at least 7 significant moves since free agency started, draft and free agency, trades. This latest one was huge. He's got to learn the defense Gardner-Johnson does, but he is basically a free safety and a slot corner. Now, Gardner-Johnson's agent and the Saints, they were at odds because Gardner-Johnson was mainly a slot corner. Those guys don't make 14, 13 million a year, 12 million a year. They might make 8 to 10 million. So there was a difference in opinion of what he should be paid. The Saints made it clear they weren't going to pay him what he wanted. So they were open to trading him, and Philly got him. I don't want to say one move, Pharrell, would change the balance of power because Philly already has the best offensive line of football. But where they were not strong is at safety, probably the worst safety group in the National Football League. This is a major, major move. Don't let the draft competition fool you. This is a huge move for Philly on a terrific player who's an in-your-face type of guy. The fans will love him. And this is yet another reason why. Not only do I like them over 9.5 wins, I love the +145 to win the NFC East. I think this one, I don't say lock, but to me, they should be the favorite, not this. By Vegas odds, by FanDuel, they're the second graded team by odds to win the division. They should be number one, not Dallas, with all the Dallas's problems.
Well, listen, I said earlier on the show this is a gigantic move for them. What a Grand Theft Auto. I mean, they just stole this guy from the Saints. I don't know what New Orleans was thinking. They obviously didn't want to pay him. And Philly put him right in where he wants to play at safety. None of this other nonsense that the Saints wanted to do to him. I do not respect that New Orleans team at all with what they're doing, the moves they're making and the players they have. And I don't trust, Jameis Winston's body. They made cuts today with Ian Book. I think they're, frankly, a mess. And Philadelphia got this guy for a 5th and a 6th rounder. I mean, that is just almost hilarious.
The Saints, Pharrell, look, they've reloaded offensively. Jarvis Landry, Michael Thomas back. Kamara is healthy. The suspension that people are rumoring, my understanding is that it shouldn't happen until after the season, barring something unforeseen. So we'll see what happens there. But they're loaded, absolutely loaded on offense. They've kind of recalibrated their wide receiver group. They've added significant pieces on offense. But your point on Jameis is well taken. Yes, he looks good coming back from the ACL, but it's an ACL. You don't know until you get to the regular season how he's going to look. And remember now, they've lost Trevor Penning, their left tackle, for a while, who should have been their left tackle, who's the rookie, who's a high-round draft pick for them. So that does worry me a little bit. And you take Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who's a matchup safety. This is a big move here. And remember now, Tyrann Mathieu is 30. The Chiefs didn't even offer him a contract to come back. And Marcus May, their other starting safety, has come back from a torn Achilles, who they feel is healed. But you got to see what happens when we get to high action and high movement. So, yeah, there's some questions there for the Saints. And by the way, clearly the Bucs are the favorite to win that, the NFC South. There's no reason to think they shouldn't win that in that division.
All right, let's go to Las Vegas. Another first-rounder, they cut this giant out of Alabama, Leatherwood, who never looked like he fit with the Raiders.
Yeah, and it's crazy because he did actually start in the playoffs. I think most people forgot about that at right guard. But they tried him at right tackle. They tried him at guard. They have their left tackle, so that wasn't going to happen with Colton Miller. But fact of the matter is, this is a disaster from day one. He should have been a second-round pick. And Alex Leatherwood, He tried. It didn't work. And the thing that, you know, you learn covering this business, Farrell, is when you have a new front office, a new coaching staff, there's no allegiance to this player. So the word around the league was they were shopping him hard for the last 2 weeks. Nobody wanted his contract. Teams didn't see him as a starter. They saw him as a backup with some versatility. And this is John Gruden's call, by the way. Yes, Mike Mack was the GM, but John Gruden had personnel control, and it just didn't work. And this is crazy. If you look at their last six first-round picks, Leatherwood, who they just cut, Ruggs they cut, Damon Arnette they cut, Cleveland Farrell was a major reach at the time in 2019. He should have been a late first-round pick. They couldn't get out of the top 10. They tried to trade out. It didn't work. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option, so he's still there. Josh Jacobs will be their starting running back, but they didn't pick up a fifth-year option. And Jonathan Abram, this group didn't pick up a fifth-year option. He's had a lot of injuries. He's more of a box safety. Look, when you continue to miss on first-round picks, and it's almost a miracle. I give Rich Bisaccia, the interim head coach, credit last year. Somehow they made the playoffs, beating the Chargers in that Sunday night game. It's remarkable to me. And it just has not worked out. And Raider fans in Las Vegas, you got to throw your hands up here. And I give Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler credit. They're not going to just keep a guy because he was a first-round pick. And it's a lessons learned here. If it didn't look good on paper, it doesn't look good in person. And it didn't work here. And Leatherwood will go through waivers, by the way. He's not a veteran, so he could be claimed off waivers tomorrow on Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern. All guys who were cut starting last Friday, all guys who were not vested veterans, last Friday, last Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, all those guys could be claimed off waivers at 12 p.m. Eastern tomorrow.
Well, I think he'll get claimed by somebody because everybody has problems up front. I know they're not going to give him the juice he got when he was coming out of Alabama and somehow got drafted in the first round. Those days are over. But I still think with the, you know, there's a glutton of guys that are on these lines around the league that are awful and that someone will put him up front because of his size and they'll think that they can coach him into better technique. Sony Michel done in Miami. Any thoughts on that one?
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about Sony Michel. So one thing, and we should mention with contracts, and we're seeing a lot of this. So if your team, if you got a player who you think, you know what, we don't want to fully guarantee his salary if he's a vested veteran. So what you do is you cut him, you let the agent go, hey, listen, let's get past week one. We don't want to guarantee his salary. We could bring him back in week two. So that's what could happen with Michel maybe, but or other veterans around the National Football League. You're going to see a bunch of veterans who were cut this week go back to the team that cut him after week one because it's called termination pay. You're allowed to take it once in your career, which means if you cut me, I could take termination pay and get my full salary and I get paid after the season. So you might see some guys do that, but the fact of the matter is these teams don't want to fully guarantee these salaries, and you're going to see a lot of that. So Sony Michel, look, he's a grinder. The Dolphins, you know, it's funny. I was with them last week. They don't have a power back on the roster. That's why it was a little bit surprising that they cut him. But again, he's a vested veteran, former first-round pick of the Patriots. And I'll say this much. If you're a team that needs a power back, there are like a dozen of them out there. Fighting running backs, teams have leverage now to get those type of guys. And also, one more note by the Raiders. They also traded Trayvon Mullen, who was a former second-round pick, to the Cardinals. So this is yet another draft pick that the Raiders have either cut or traded. Mullen's not a bad player. I'll say this much about John Gruden, his group. It's not a bad player, Trayvon Mullen. He'll help the Cardinals absolutely at the cornerback position.
What about another running back, Philip Lindsay, cut by the Colts? He can bang. I always thought that guy played his ass off.
Yeah, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the only undrafted running back in NFL history to make a Pro Bowl in his first year. And that was with Denver, which he came out of nowhere playing in the Colorado area. He was bounced around from the Dolphins and other teams and you mentioned the Colts. In fact, he had a good preseason. He's another guy. Wouldn't surprise me if he comes back after week one. But Nyheim Hines is the number two running back in Indy. And the thing is for the Colts and Nyheim Hines, last year Carson Wentz would not check the ball down much. It's not what he does. Watch Nyheim Hines' catch total to be at least 50, if not higher in the 60s, because Matt Ryan will check the ball down. There's no question that that's been his career. And that's what they want out of Nyheim Hines. Paying Nyheim Hines, by the way, $6 million a year to be a backup running back in the National Football League, the Colts.
He's making the same money as Garoppolo now. The Bills cut O.J. Howard and Duke Johnson.
Yeah, O.J. Howard, that was a bad contract. The Bills do a great job in personnel. That was a big miss. I didn't see it. He's got a decent amount of guaranteed money to be a backup. Could bring him back later, but they still owe him a decent amount of money, a couple million. I don't blame the Bucs. When they got him in the middle of the first round of that draft some years ago, remember, he came out of Alabama, super athlete. He could block. Very inconsistent, had drops, concentration lapses, drop footballs. It didn't work for him, and it didn't work in Buffalo. And that's a position where they don't have a lot of depth in Buffalo at the backup tight end position. But O.J. Howard never made it. A lot of teams were shocked that he didn't make it as a former first-round pick. I'll admit, I was wrong. I thought he was going to be a good football player. Never happened. It certainly won't happen in Buffalo.
Josh Rosen cut again. Yeah. At what point does he just go do something else for a living?
I'm actually told he did very well. They weren't going to keep him. He's a vested veteran. They weren't going to keep him on the roster, but he could be a practice squad candidate. They were pleasantly surprised, I'm told, how well he did, because you just talked about it. Keeps moving on. But he actually had some confidence. They were pleasantly surprised his practice tape was actually pretty good. Talking to the Browns about him, they were a little surprised. But Josh Dobbs, by the way, he did very well in the preseason. I got to give him credit. Who's a super high, off the field. He's like a super duper smart guy. But the fact of the matter is, it's all about getting Jacoby Brissett ready to go here. And how he goes, Pharrell, they go the season before, of course, they get Watson back off the reserve suspended list after week 11.
Will Greer, Ben DiNucci, and Cooper Rush all cut. Which one are they bringing back? They can't just have Dak Prescott with his injury history without a backup.
Yeah, so what you do is, it's called practice squad tangle. What you do is you bring one guy on the practice squad, and then you bring him up for game day. He practices during the week. I know it looks odd, okay? I get that. Will Greer, formerly of the Panthers, is a draftee by them, is a pretty good athlete. But you're going to want what you do is you could bring someone to the practice squad. It's not the big deal because people are freaking out. How could they only have one quarterback? But remember, 16-man practice squads. You could either sign them off your practice squad or call them up. We've got the call-ups. And also, another note, there's no more COVID protocol, so we don't have that this year for the first time in 3 years. So, but they're keeping the practice squad rules intact, so it's not panic time. But we talked about this earlier this week, folks. I would be worried about the left tackle position for the Cowboys. As I told you on Sports Grid here, going with Tyler Smith to me is a lot to be desired here. He's a very raw rookie. This is going to be in their offensive coaching staff to get this kid going here.
So Boyle was the guy that the Lions let go. So I guess Blau was the guy that got the gig as the backup in Detroit. So I think that's how that played out. Adam, great stuff today. Deep inside the cuts, the Garoppolo situation, Brian Robinson. We look forward to the start of the season next Thursday night. Thank you so much. Great stuff today. We'll see you for the Bills and Rams, the opener on Thursday the 8th.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fast forward, Pharrell, and your facial, the Pharrell finish. Penguins give Mike Sullivan a 3-year extension in Pittsburgh after winning back-to-back Stanley Cups. Not a bad deal. LIV Golf announces Cam Smith, Joaquin Neiman, Harold Varner III, Tringali. Cameron Tringali also jumps over. Christian Pulisic will stay with Chelsea. Nice job by them today, losing. Unbelievable. Chelsea refused permission for him to seek a new home, and Pulisic is not thrilled about it. There you go. Congratulations. No one likes each other. Falcons suspended receiver Calvin Ridley targeted in gang-related celebrity home invasions in Atlanta. What they're doing is robbing rich people of everything they have in their homes. Colin Kaepernick and his girlfriend announced the birth of their first child. Two Air France pilots get into a fist fight in the air, in the cockpit. Members of the cabin crew split them up. I would have paid to see that. Nothing like keeping the passengers safe as those two are throwing haymakers in the cockpit. And a Florida man arrested for calling a sex worker on his honeymoon. He was on his honeymoon and called to get a hooker. That is an awesome power play right there. Ozzy Osbourne leaving the USA, fed up with people killing each other. He's going back to Birmingham to live in England so he can die in peace. National Cinema Day this Saturday. $3 movie tickets, Carver High, for one day only. Time to take the kids. Texas man shoots and kills his son, who was beating up his mother. He was assaulting his mother, so the father shot him dead. U.S. tourists warned about popular Mexican hotspots for vacation, plagued by drug cartel intimidation and violence. Do not go to Mexico on vacation. You will be killed. They hate Americans. Michael Jackson used 19 fake IDs to score drugs in a new documentary that reveals his passion of getting his hands on painkillers. That is awesome. Your boy Michael Jackson, still one of the greatest dancers ever. You got to admit, Carver Hyde, a guy could dance. I mean, he was a freak with everything else, but I got to tell you, on stage, that guy could light it up. GPD is next. We'll see you tomorrow on Coast to Coast. Good night. Let's hit some bets, baby.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.